2 weeks from today, Pope Francis arrives in New York. After landing at JFK Airport, he'll be whisked to St. Patrick's Cathedral in Midtown to say evening prayers, known as Vespers. The cathedral has been undergoing a major restoration since 2006 at a cost of more than $175 million, and it's been expedited for the Pope's visit. We sent WNYC's Richard Hake to meet with the architect and the rector to see how it's going.
Both the outside and inside of the cathedral have been covered in scaffolding, but now it's removed and you can see the marble glisten. Here, workers continue to drill and make final adjustments to some intricate wall sconces and wooden displays on the altar. The cathedral was restored from top to bottom, and not only things you can see, like the stained glass and the pews, but also major infrastructure changes. We met up with the project architect, Rolando Crayer, who says workers uncovered layers of details that couldn't have been seen for generations.
That level of detail was evident to everybody working on the cathedral, not only the design team, but the construction people. So everybody working on this restoration has this sense of awe, and they are all quiet, respectful, very unlike many construction sites that you would see.
Now, as I stand and look up at the amazing stained glass window above the pipe organ, I'm mesmerized by it. Talk about what it was like to do all the stained glass, to clean it, and get it back up there.
When we did the construction documents from the panels that we had inspected, we thought that we would have to take probably 10-15% of the panels out, send them to be repaired. Ultimately, we didn't have to do that. We only took about 3% of the panels, and a lot of the repairs were done on site. But it's quite amazing, because what you see from here, you know, you see the angels, you see figures here and there, a little decoration. But once you get close to the stained glass, you see all of this intricate detail of the people, you know, whatever they drew. It's just, it's fabulous.
Were there any challenges that you found that you didn't expect while you were doing the restoration?
The church does not have a fire suppression system. It being wood, when you look up, you think that the cathedral is stone, but it's really wood and plaster. And so we had to install a fire suppression system that would extinguish a fire without ruining the church. And so we came up with this system that had been used for and invented for ships that use only 10% of the water. It's called a mist system, high-pressure mist system, and that is what we installed. So that was a challenge in itself, to install it and to figure out how to do a fire suppression system that would actually work for the church.
One of the striking things to me, because I've been coming to this cathedral since I was a little boy, is the grime and the dirt that has basically been taken off, not only the outside, but the inside. Talk about the challenge of that.
The cathedral was painted in the 40s. They did a major restoration in the 40s. It was painted again. The inside was painted again in the 70s. And so, number one, we had to find what the true color was that Renwick, the architect, had in mind for the church. So we did analysis of the paint. The other thing is the cathedral having to be opened. We had to find methods of repairs and construction that would not affect the people in the church. We used a system where you paint the walls, you paint the columns, it dries, and then you peel it. It's a rubberized material, and so it really extracts all of the paint and dirt without the need of heavy sanding or heavy dust making.
So in other words, the restoration went on while the church remained open. You didn't have to close it.
That was one of the mandates that we received from the trustees. And if you go into churches, you know, it's full of dirt and grime, so it's dark. And so they think that they need to paint it dark again, and then it becomes darker, which is completely in opposition to what a Gothic cathedral is. Gothic cathedral, if I was to put it into one word, is about uplift, right? That's why you have the dissipation of light. It's dissipation of light going into the heavens, the stained glass, its pieces. It's all about reaching heaven. And so it could not be dark. And so when we found out the true colors and we painted them, the colors that Renwick used at the time, and it gives you this vibrancy that you did not see 3 years ago. It was very grim, and you walk down with your head down as opposed to feeling this uplift, which is what the cathedral is supposed to give you. It's fabulous, fantastic.
But fabulous and fantastic comes with a price. St. Patrick's Cathedral's rector is the Monsignor Robert Ritchie, and he says the cathedral needed restoration, not for aesthetics only, but for safety. He remembers back in 2006 when marble started falling off the facade onto Fifth Avenue. Then a huge fundraising effort started, which he calls daunting.
When we came down to the final figures to do everything that we thought had to be done without any frills, without any luxuries, it amounted to about $175 million. And we've raised, I'm not exactly sure of the figure, it's not the bottom line figure yet, but we're getting closer. It was a work that we decided had to be done, otherwise the cathedral would not be a safe place for people to come.
I read one of the Cardinal's letters that he puts on his blog that Pope Francis actually wanted to come here to St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Everybody wants to come to St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's certainly, well, we call it America's Parish Church, so if you're Catholic and you're visited to New York, you have to come here.
What does it mean for the Pope to actually come to this cathedral?
Well, what it means, it's more what he's going to tell us, and he's going to speak to us about the importance of America to the world and the goodness of American people to help raise up the marginalized and people that are in trouble. And he's going to tell us that what we've been doing is good, but we have to continue to do it, and he's going to inspire, I think, millions of people to look beyond themselves to the needs of those who are suffering.
And where will you actually be when you welcome Pope Francis here?
Well, I have the great honor of being down at the curb when he comes out of the car to be there with the governor and the mayor, we think, and the cardinal, of course, and then to accompany them into the church where I will give the Holy Father a crucifix to kiss and holy water to bless himself and the people.
And for you personally, what is it like to say Mass on this spot?
Well, it's a great thrill. I remember when I first came here 9.5 years ago, Cardinal Egan told me that twice a month he would not be at the cathedral for the main Mass, and I would be doing it myself. And the first time I did it, it was a huge, huge thrill. So now I know the people who come here every day, so it's a great thrill to be able to pray with them each day. And it's grand, but it's also, I know the people, so it's also personal.
That's Monsignor Robert Ritchie, rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Project architect Rolando Crayer also spoke with WNYC's Richard Hake. We have photos and an interactive tool to let you see St. Patrick's Cathedral then and now at WNYC.org.